This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cullen, a couple of guys that can only hope to be house trained.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Dr. Williamson, the emergency vet from Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you. Welcome, Rick. How you doing?
It's always our pleasure to have you here, Doc. Doc, this time of year, everyone is out being very festive, and I would imagine that as a result of it, there's a lot of vets who are closed, and all of a sudden, something happens, and an animal gets sick, and all of a sudden, you've got yourself someone coming visit to the medical center. What types of things are you typically treating this time of year?
Well, this is a special time of year for everybody. You decorate your house and home, and you got a lot of people coming over and enjoying that time. And that leads up to some problems that our pets can get into. You know, mainly that Christmas tree decorations and lights are the first and foremost. Our dogs and cats will go ahead and light those things sparkling at them, and they can get into problems with those. So
they can even tear into some of those gifts and find probably things that they shouldn't be finding as well.
Absolutely. And even what we put our gifts wrapped with, the ribbons and the bows are very important, but careful with what you put under that tree before you kind of have that Christmas day going, because there can be some things that those pets will get into.
Do you get a lot of impaction type things, some intestinal issues?
Occasionally. The biggest thing with that is the kitty cats, the tinsel, the ribbons, and the bows that we put on there, they will go ahead and chew those on up, and that doesn't pass very well. So we'll see that as a very frequent thing for our cats.
Right. And it's probably now not just the weekend and evening, but there's probably vets during this time of year that are closed for certain periods of time of the holiday, or?
I would believe so. Some of them will, kind of shorten their hours on up, and depending on, how those holidays fall, we'll take a longer weekend. And so it's important to know that you have a backup plan, during that day and night in case something does happen.
I got a question for you. If you think ahead, should you be pre-registered at the emergency clinic if you're an average person? Because I imagine the average individual coming in doesn't think ahead, and they're literally just showing up at your doorstep, which is exactly what your business model is.
Right.
But is there any advantage to being pre-registered or
There's an advantage at least to, coming by and knowing where the location is and how to get there. Maybe come by when, everything is nice and normal and kind of check everything on out. We actually had a couple people last week do that. They were new to the area. They came from a place that, had a 24-hour facility for emergency, and they wanted to know where we're located, how to get there, and kind of check out our facility. And I believe that gets them a little bit presence of, understanding who we are, and when that emergency takes place, maybe they're a little bit more able to kind of think through that and get to where we need to faster. So absolutely.
So how does a facility like yours differ than a normal veterinarian office, and is it specifically more specialized to handle emergencies?
Yeah, we definitely are equipped for any type of emergency that comes on in there. Majority of the primary veterinarians out there are going to be wellness, and so they're going to have their hospital set up to kind of keep your pet healthy for the long term. On the other hand, when that doesn't always go well, we're set up for those oops and those accidents and those problems.
And probably the staff is a little bit more quick to call in those situations.
Yeah. And the staff is well trained for emergency and critical care. They have to be on their toes. They got to be able to recognize what's going on. And so, our licensed technicians have been doing emergency medicine for, minimally 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Well, speaking of preventative, Doc, if we could talk about what are some of the things that people can do to try and prevent some of the problems from occurring, because not that everyone doesn't love to see you, but at the same time,
loves to see you.
I'll guarantee during the holidays, people would rather not have to go in for emergency care. So how can we help them accommodate
that? Well, and we understand that. We'd rather have them spend time with their family and friends than to have to come, kind of come in with a sick or injured pet for us. I think it's just kind of preparing to keep things out of the way for what our pets normally get into. You talked about the tree decorations. The other thing is what we're baking in the house, and the candies and things around there. Chocolate is still a very popular thing this time of the year.
Yeah.
And, that's something that when the dogs get into that is very dangerous.
How sensitive are dogs to chocolate? We hear about it, but you're probably the first hand account of what happens with chocolate. Well, Help us understand that.
Well, chocolate, you know, just has an active ingredient there that the dogs break down much slower than we do. And every pet is going to do that a little differently. So there's some general guidelines. Your milk chocolates are probably the safest, meaning that it may take, you know, maybe, a half a pound of chocolate for, you know, a dog that's maybe 20 pounds to have a problem.
Okay.
But you get all the way down to your baking chocolate. You know, that may be, you know, a couple ounces know, in order to be a problem.
And that's because it's diluted out or more digestible?
It just has a lot more of the active ingredient, the theobromide in there. And that can become a major problem. People start cooking with that or they leave that out to soften. Uh-huh. And, you know, that's a very dangerous product. A small dog gets just a small amount of that versus, you know, a half of a candy bar.
Right.
And they're going to start having some issues.
What would one witness?
The very first thing they're going to witness is obviously that they tore that apart.
Yeah.
But it will stimulate them. They'll start acting very hyper, energetic. The caffeine in there makes them very energetic. And then they start getting some GI upsets. So, you know, they'll start having some vomiting with that. And that can then lead up to even more problems with dehydration. They could have tremors and seizures. And those symptoms, acting very excited and energetic, you know, heart throbbing, can start as early as 35 to 40 minutes after ingestion.
I just find this amazing. You know, we as humans, like, especially during Valentine's, just honor chocolate like no other.
Oh, yeah.
It's the real treasure for all women on the planet, for sure. And yet dogs can't handle it all. Now, is that just true for dogs, or do other animals have similar sensitivities?
It's mostly the canines.
Just the canines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
but it's not just chocolate, because I've heard the same thing about onions and grapes and things like that as well.
Yeah.
What are the top issues you see come in the door during this time of year as far as food?
The top food one would be just we spoiling our dog with anything we're eating, the leftovers from, you know, the holiday dinner, GI upset, pancreatitis. That is the most common situation there, is we just feed our pets what we're eating.
And it's something different than what it's used to.
And it's not usually us. It's usually our guest who thinks that they're doing well by us.
Yep. And that food is very good, but a lot of times it's very rich and it's got a lot more calories in there. And those
dogs cannot tell you. Is there a certain percentage you could give us that would be, I mean, if they continue, you know, what would be a guideline for leftovers if they don't normally get leftovers?
Zero.
Okay, that's fair.
I hate to
send that word out there, everybody, but zero is the word, okay?
If they're not used to it, they shouldn't be getting that. They're more likely to kind of want to get into the trash and those types of things. So I think that that's the most common. Other things is the candies and the treats that we have around. Some of the nuts can be a problem, macadamia nuts. That can cause some weakness and vomiting in dogs. You know, raisins this time of the year are kind of in some of our, foods. And that is an unpredictable situation. Grapes, onions, those can cause kidney problems. And there's not a correlation to how many raisins or grapes it takes. And so we don't want any raisins or grapes to get into our dogs. Those are probably the most common things besides our candies.
All right, well. You know what? You're going to change my behaviors around the house as well. it's a good show today.
Well, that might be a good thing. Now, Doc, what about in terms of having the tree in the house? Because one of the things that's always intrigued me is cats climb. And when cats climb and you've got electricity and you've got all of those decor, tell me what kind of a nightmare that creates.
Well, that can be a problem for, you know, the cats. They're probably the biggest culprit when we put that tree up. They do like to get up there. You could put your lights and your ornaments on there. They can knock that right over. And that obviously can be a household hazard and can maybe even start a fire in the house. But the ornaments are an issue, too. They're sparkly. The lights are kind of flashing around. Dogs and cats both go after those, and they start chewing on those. The wires are very thin, and, you know, some of these dogs and cats get electrocuted just by chewing on the wires. So you got to be very, very cautious. If we're out there grabbing and cutting out our tree, we need to put water in there. It's another thing we don't think about too much. Some people will put treatments and preservatives in that water.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the dog is just going right on there. It's a bucket of water for them. That can be dangerous as well. If we don't put that down there, just the water itself and what comes out of the tree.
The sap
and everything there that's got some bacteria and things.
Yeah.
Dogs will go drink that and will, again, treat the GI issues very, very commonly this time of the year. So if there's a way to put a barrier around that tree,
right,
that would be ideal.
Right. Filled with gifts so high, you can't help it.
That's exactly right.
Now, Doc, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit because one of the other things that happens this time of year is people start planning for the new year. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll do a financial budget for how they're going to spend money in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you and I have talked about and we've even covered on the show is the concept of pet insurance.
Sure.
And budgeting for that. But if someone were out there, what advice could you give them in terms of how to budget for the proper vetting, the proper care of their animals, and if they should put part of that into pet insurance?
Well, I think there's two ways to do that. Either one, you go ahead and get that policy and that pet insurance policy. That's going to give you that protection. You're basically paying into when that emergency takes place. If that's just not your forte, then you kind of budget the same way you do for a new car. You know, for something else in the house, you put a little bit aside for a pet saving. So when that occurs, because those pets are going to get sick, ill, or injured, you have some resources to, you know, rely upon. Another way to do that is what's called care credit, which is just a medical credit card for our pets. You could kind of have that set aside, a line of credit for you. You only use it for that situation when it occurs. And I think those could be very helpful. And that's probably the most challenging thing our pets owners are dealing with when they're coming on in. They're really worried about their pet, and the biggest thing that comes up there is they're always focusing on that finances. So if we have a way for that, they can budget for that, I think it can help out a lot.
And you got we're still before Christmas, so it would be a strange gift, but you could certainly have for maybe the misfortunate brother or brother-in-law or daughter or father or whatnot that used to have a job that doesn't, maybe getting some pet insurance for their animal.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be a bad gift.
No, actually, it would be a gift that they would appreciate. And when something happens, they would really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Because you never know how much you need it till you need it. So, Doctor, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I can't thank you enough for the great information you've brought to us multiple times this year. We've been talking this morning with Dr. Williamson from the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation and talk about what pets actually make good Christmas gifts and what pets don't make such good Christmas gifts right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Oh, I make you laugh, and you make me cry. I believe it's time for me to fly.